Gambin. This is episode one of Music Hacker. Forgive all the noise around us. I'm joined today by the beautiful, awesome, amazing singer-songwriter Melinda Ortner, who keeps trying to creep away from me like I'm some sort of a sex pest or something. So Melinda, how would you best describe, not your music, your state of play?
State of play?
Yeah, like, where are you at?
Where am I at? I mean, like...
Should I do more intro?
Specific.
Should I bring more in? So, you're American. You're
state
in London.
State of play, that's too complicated for me. Yeah.
You're an American in London. You've been a musician for how long? Like a songwriter,
since,
actually making...
Since Wednesday. It's maybe Tuesday afternoon.
That's you've got real good quick.
I know.
How long have you been? Well, I mean, how long have you been good?
Okay, that's better. Since maybe 10 years now. Oh, my God. 10 years maybe.
And when did you come to London?
3 years ago now.
3 years. Mm-hmm. And why did you leave what some people would say is the kind of mecca of music, L.A., for London?
Because I lost a lot of brain cells. And
did a lot of drugs.
Yeah, basically. So I don't want to say I was burnt out, I was there a while, and I got some really great things happen, and great things are happening there, and I go back and forth, but, like, it was very, like, it was like a childhood dream to move to London, so it almost had nothing to do with anything, but the fact that it was something I wanted to do, like, personally, so,
how long were you in LA for?
10 years. So long. So, yeah, understandably, I think anywhere for 10 years... you're going to get a little, like, and I'm a traveler and, like, a wanderlust, you know, all the time.
Like,
so, yeah, I mean, I was born to tour. Like, I love being on the road. Yeah. So it was just, like, I felt it was just stagnant, even though I love fake people and I love vegan lattes.
I love fake people.
I miss Downward Dog and all that. But, London seemed like the humor was better and I didn't offend people so much.
Find yourself offensive in LA?
I seem to offend people all the time because I would just take the piss out of people and they'd be like, you think I'm funny? I'm like, right. It was a compliment, right. But okay.
So you reckon
a little sensitive there.
The scene over
I'm just
there,
being real right now.
You think the scene over there maybe can be described a little bit as a bit up itself?
Okay, yes. And also what I found when I did...
People take themselves too serious.
Definitely. And also it's kind of like just... Everyone's like climbing on top of each other to get to the top, and I just never really felt a sense of community. And a lot of LA artists will agree to that, and some will be like, no, there is. But I really just didn't feel that sort of community like I have here. And I think part of it is just like that we're all in these boxes, isolated, and we're never just by chance running into people so much as we are on the tube. And I look at the tube as like the pulse of the city. It's like the veins, and then. It's just, I don't know, I think it's kind of cool.
This Music Hacker isn't a travel show or a kind of pro-London thing. What I'm trying to get at is, what I want to do with the Music Hacker thing is basically get to the bottom of what artists want and see if I can help reframe and then put on the, maybe get a plan go on the go and, like, put them on the right track. And so the thing that I always thought when I heard your music for the first time was, immediately, it was like, wow, this is so ready. It sounds like, if anything, the only thought I thought was like, why is this so ready?
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, if you just came out with a record, the first few things that I heard, I think I heard probably like 10 songs, like an album's worth,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
and it
album.
All sounded like it could be an album. And it was just kind of like, so my brain goes, and I don't know if this is just like, because I'm such a fan of music and I've been a musician for so long and I know the industry, my brain goes, what's the story then? If everything's so ready, and this is a big thing I think that a lot
ADHD.
Of people get. I think a lot of people get this wrong, and we as musicians are both perfectionists, and I've got it wrong loads as well, that we don't just put things out, we want to wait until things are perfect and then we want to put like the greatest record out, you know, because we think everything we do is shit. You know?
Oh, yeah, completely.
So we want to put this great record out. Whereas from a fan's perspective, like, so I was listening to your music for the first time as a fan, because I was like, oh man, that's and also like a jealous, you know, when you're a musician, you're kind of jealous of someone else's stuff. Yeah,
like, oh, that chord like, change,
oh, that's
or that
a killer,
weird,
like, little vocal hook, you know, like, I want to sample it, you know.
You should.
Yeah, and so it was also kind of like, damn, you know, so as a fan, I was like, but how come I haven't been, you know,
I heard of her before.
Yeah, but also, like, I went back to see if there was some past stuff, and I started watching videos of you on in Cannes, and there was cool that there was that stuff, and that was the stuff that I actually kind of got, actually thought, oh, cool, like, she's actually cool. Not the songs, not the kind of, you're going to sneeze? You're going to sneeze right on me? I'm sitting here, you're going to sneeze on me? Right in the middle of a party?
It's going to happen pretty soon.
All right, okay.
Okay.
Both of our hay fever is flaring up. I'm going to cry. You sneeze, I'll cry. But, so that was the stuff that actually made me kind of like you.
Okay.
Was, oh, like, because there was, like, in interviews and you were being very honest, and it was like, oh, okay, there's kind of, there's an artist there, and it's weird because you might hear like a great song
or Sundance,
and some really catchy tunes, but not hear there's a great artist.
Hmm.
Because, do you know what I'm saying? It's like, it's kind of easy eventually when you're as good as you are, and as good as we get, it ends up being easy to be good.
Yeah.
But then what is the meat? So what I was
the story, which is...
Yeah, so that's the question. Yeah, we'll the first get big to that. Question, I think, of this one, I think that will help us kind of get to where we're going is... Why didn't you release?
I did release my album.
So you released the first album?
Yeah.
And so some of the songs that you're playing now, how many songs have you got unreleased and how many songs have you got released?
That's a good question. I mean, probably more released than I have unreleased, so that's
you
good.
You got more released than unreleased?
Well, I mean, there's so many almost finished songs. So I don't know if I'm counting that. But I mean, I get what you're saying. There's like these pretty, if I don't say so myself, epic music videos that I've put together and put my literally blood, sweat, and tears in it, and you've seen it, and we've talked about, you know, why didn't you already put this out? You know, I mean, I don't even want to tell you like how old this little girl in the video is now, and she was 3 at the time, and there's like this kind of running joke now that she's like going to be graduating college before I put it out. But
and is that song?
It's almost like it's always the one thing that I need to finish is like the one thing that I somehow, even subconsciously or consciously, avoid finishing. Right. For some reason, it's like a fear of releasing things. But there's reasons that I do. Yeah, there's reasons I think an artist is afraid to just put something that's really great out is because it's like, well, it isn't demo quality. It isn't even unsigned quality. It's like signed artist quality, and I'm not signed. So I don't have the team behind it. I don't have the fan base behind it. And I don't want it to go dead in the water. Yeah, so it's not just because I'm afraid.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm smart. I'm smart. I'm a business person. And I'm like, I need a lot of money to put this out, or I need a bunch of fans. And you obviously shed a lot of light on that for me, which is something I think we should talk about, because it's artists need to know that it's like, as you said, fans don't care about perfection. They just want to like constantly be like you're an episode, or you're like, you're feeding them.
Yeah.
So I need to put it out, but there's not enough mouths to feed right now.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. So the first part of that that we do as musicians is obviously we kind of hold back a lot of good stuff, because a part of us thinks that this is so good, I've got to do it justice. I've got to like make the greatest video. I've got to get the team behind it. I've got to do this and that and that and put all the ducks in line.
Yeah.
And so we kind of try
to
become...
it's overwhelming.
Yeah, we try to become entrepreneurs and business people and forget that we're actually just, first and foremost, we have to be musicians and artists. And we kind of have to grow a fan base. So we also, in some ways, have to... The first thing we do, you know, if you keep doing another video and another video and another video, by the 10th one, you're going to look at the first one and think, oh God, that's crap.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, generally. Yeah.
So it's kind of like, so what we don't do by not just letting things go.
Exactly. No, I know.
Because we don't give the fans the chance to kind of like, what's she going to do next? Like, I was there when she was doing this video on a handheld cat, you know, like, and they have that kind of...
But when you do have something that isn't like that, that's like
that
something that was
on,
a work of art, like, it's like a feature film, like, you know, or in my equivalent of one as an artist. It's sort of like somebody's feature film that they made. Like, they're not just going to throw it on YouTube, right? Maybe, maybe. But I don't think that's the smartest thing. But then there's this catch-22, because then a lot of my artist friends are like, yeah, but if you never, like, if you just wait so long to put it out, like, isn't that the way that you'll get the fans? And I'm like, yeah. I mean, that's how you hear about, oh, you know, Lily Allen put a song on MySpace and then
yeah.
it blew up, which I just don't buy it.
No, all that stuff's
I think
quite
it's a
bullshit.
Story.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of people put really good shit up on MySpace and SoundCloud. And it doesn't just, like, blow up. It doesn't become, like, the SoundCloud doesn't know it was great. You know what I mean? Like,
well, you also have to look at the times. So if a new platform comes through, like, say, DTube is coming through now. But I wouldn't use DTube like I would have used YouTube when it came through. When YouTube came through, well, and I was, like, one of the first people who were starting to upload music stuff on YouTube. But, and to be honest, it was still quite a long time before someone used it as a platform like it became, you know?
Yeah.
It was, you know, it wasn't... It was just a way to kind of market small bits, maybe. Now it's used for long form, and now it's used for viral. But I think there's a massive problem with artists and the storyline of someone kind of jumped on YouTube and they did a few videos and they became big. Like, if you look at all the artists who did that, you'll see that they're actually very specific types. They fall into the three categories. They actually had massive management. It was a plan from day
one. Like, who's that girl that she's like quite famously, you know, it was like she was a YouTuber, but really the campaign was to make it look like she was a YouTuber when really she had already been signed. Her name's at the tip of my tongue.
Was it Wish I Was a Punk Rock Girl?
No, no, it's like some Asian kind of girl.
Okay.
I don't know. Anyways.
The girl from Scotland who kind of, like, she wrote that song, I Wish I Was a Punk Rock Girl or whatever. I remember being at one of these PRS nights and sitting with a whole bunch of musicians around a table. And this is a big part of what Music Hacker is about, is, like, you know, myth-busting and showing you the reality of what really happens with music. And her name is Sandy Tom, I believe, and she had that great song. It was a number one hit, and apparently came from YouTube. And she was pitched as a singer-songwriter to the world, like singing in her bedroom, right?
Yeah.
And same with Jessie J and all these people, right?
Yeah.
But the problem is, I'm at this event the one night, and I'm sitting there, and I'm talking to this songwriter, this guy, and I'm like, oh, what did you write? And he's like, oh, do you remember, you know that song, I Wish I Was a Punk Rock Girl? I'm like, I'm sitting there to a dude, I wish I was a punk rock girl. And I'm like, oh, what? I thought that was like a...
Right.
And he tells me, no, it was a campaign. It was loads of money put behind a campaign. Mm-hmm. It was like, and so what those campaigns are, same with like Jessie J.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, I'm sitting in my room singing. Like, come on, man. That's never, you know, especially then.
Yeah, that's why I can't trust somebody else's Wikipedia or journey, because I mean, first of all, you shouldn't be following somebody else's journey anyways, because it's always going to be different.
And you never know actually what the thing was. For reals, whatever people say about viral or overnight success, there's just no such thing. Like, things have to be there for a while, and then they kind of hit a point and they spike. But without doing that...
But there's usually money behind that, you know?
Yeah.
If there's not a ton of money, then, as you said, then you need a ton of fans. So
the only way you're going to get viral or, like, that type of success, especially from kind of, like, music platforms or video platforms, there's a few different ways, but one is consistency, so that you're giving the audience something to constantly come back to, so the audience just comes back wanting more and more and more, and eventually the buzz brings someone big, someone famous, someone with loads of followers to the video, and that person
bang,
you get a hit of like a million.
And I really think that, like, the more I just, in a way, the more I don't try to be a musician or artist sometime, I'm just human, the more I'm like, I could... Like, that could work. Like, I listen to podcasts, for example, right? And there's always a song that finishes the Star Talk podcast with Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, I need to hit that up, because that's like, that is how, you know, it's exposure. Same with the Joe Rogan podcast. He always plays a song at the end of the episode and features it.
Yeah.
But
it's like his favorite song or something of all time.
Right. Or something like that. Yeah. But I think, like, you got to be... Think outside of the box, and which leads me to my next point of, we can't do it alone, and that's why, I mean, that's partially why I haven't released the thing, because I need like three people like with me at like in a room, like as if we're a label, and like figuring, coordinating. I'm like one person trying to release something so big, and
try
to have like Katy Perry have released anything that she's done just herself, you know what I mean?
But Katy Perry, tours for ages and does all this stuff before she releases a record, you know,
yeah.
And like things get out, and then she also falls into one of the three categories. But And so if you're looking at it like there's not enough people, there is enough people. It's just what you want to do first. So like with making any kind of plan, I always see like, obviously, if we're talented people and you're talented and your end goal is here, and the end goal seems like it's got so much, you got to do so much to get there, right? It's such a big goal.
Yeah.
But it's just the understanding and of constantly simplifying back to where you're at.
Right.
And going, okay, well, I'm going to start small. And I'm going to start simple. Yeah. So like, if you're going to put videos up,
yeah,
don't put big file videos because take long to upload.
Yeah, just like
don't,
keep don't it really simple. Which is super counterintuitive to me. Yeah,
everything's got to be super simple, and because fans aren't sitting out there going like, "Oh man, like that person who dropped that CinemaScope like amazing video," they're just going, "No, like I really like what this person's about in her daily Snapchat."
Totally, it's almost more exciting than this glamorous like ice thing that I'm still not putting.
Yeah, up. But I still think there's a benefit then of dropping. So let's just get into like a strategy chat. Like if I was you and I have one like an album's worth of great songs, three great videos, right, ready to go.
Four
great videos. I would be going, wow, that's a quarter of the year set up. So I've got a quarter release, another half of the year I've got another release, another quarter, and at the end of the year I've got another. You know, so you've basically got a year set of video drops.
Right.
But in between that, if you were just going to drop those videos, dead space.
Right. They're just dead in the water.
You've only got four videos out in a year. But if you're running up every single day or every second day or third day with something quite interesting, just cool, showing yourself, showing what the goods, the highs, the lows, the journey, you know, like that's really what I think everyone wants to see now is like the raw journey of and also being not being afraid to be broken. Like, you know, like I think the days of, I think the Kardashians and that whole LA state of mind, I think those days of that's what a famous person is, I think they're really gone.
Mm.
Especially for, kind of, I think more people are like...
Yeah, you mean like the sugar-coated, glamorous...
Yeah, I think more people are into kind of like the reality of life, you know? And just want... I think that especially with the Netflix generation, like...
The vulnerability, basically.
If I see someone's channel or... and I know it sounds like we're talking about YouTubing, but essentially being a musician these days is... you know, pretty much being a YouTuber in many ways. It's just that you're not kind of, if you were just a YouTuber, I find that like a bit of a soulless.
Well, that's
soulless.
Also the fear, I think, is like you don't want to become this YouTuber. But I mean, the world, the times are different. You know, there's not, we're not in the Beatles era anymore. Like they may have made it through YouTube if it was today and they were the Beatles, you know? Like,
I think if you're a YouTuber, you got like actually, you're going to go up against Casey Neistat and all these amazing like YouTubers. Like, you know, you've actually got to edit, you've got to put the time in, your life just becomes that. And then it's a job, it's a great job.
But I think
you're a musician using YouTube, your music is still the core.
Well, I mean, what are you videoing about unless you're actually doing the music? Because it's not as interesting anyways if you're always in your bedroom. I mean, they want to see you in your bedroom, like, playing songs. But I think still go out and play random, you know, landscape, play all over. Yeah. And I mean, that's what makes your channel colorful and interesting.
Yeah, and
I think... you just trying shit and failing.
Yeah.
And or succeeding.
Yeah, totally. Like, I mean, if you're always putting things up of yourself being amazing... I think it's also a way to lose people.
Yeah.
Because people want to see the construction of things. So it's good to put up a lot of...
And the vulnerability, you know.
You can't pretend to be crap, but, like, you know, showing that you're vulnerable. But
it's hard to show your true colors, though, because you're like, wait, who do I know? Like, who is subscribed to me? Like, probably some teachers, you know, your peers, like, not just, like, fans, but, like, people you went to school with and parents, your parents' friends, and you don't even know, you know, and you're like, you're just broadcasting... where you're at, and you want certain people to think that you're like at this level, and you want other people to think that you're just where you are because you don't care. But and it's like everyone's just on it, so you're like, I can't cater. You just got to be you, right?
I think
it's like you got
to
let go.
I think don't worry about catering to anyone. I mean, I think your music will speak for itself. The type of person you are speaks for itself. But also, I like the idea, like, because I've done a lot of big things in my career, and I've done this crazy shit, and I've been in every magazine and on most channels, right? And TV shows and radio shows, touring and all that. But I really like the feeling of deciding, you know what, we're at square one and we're just going to do this thing.
Yeah.
You know, there's something really kind of rewarding about that. because it takes a lot of balls to go, oh man, you know, because
I know, because you want to think that you got to this level and then you just keep climbing, but it's like two steps forward, one step back, two steps forward, one step back.
It's stressful being a musician who got to a level.
Yeah, totally.
Because like every time you meet someone, don't you hate that when someone goes, oh, so what's your story?
And what are you doing now? You know, I'm busking now and doing like, and you're like, oh shit, I'm still busking. And it's like a reality check for you. And you're like, but it's like not healthy to live
in. Yeah, because you're dealing their expectations, when isn't it just such a good feeling if you can just go, I'm a musician, I'm doing my thing, here's my, go check it out.
Yeah.
You know, I feel kind of like, you know, like a really nice place to be at, especially if you can just settle on that. Like, look, we've got this plan, we're going to do this.
Yeah.
But do you fit, so I was going to say about, because we had this conversation earlier and I had an idea on text, and we'll get to that, but back to your kind of strategy line.
Yeah.
So I'm right in saying that you're compiling videos right now and you're going to do like a, like, I challenged you to do 365.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, and I haven't quite faced it yet. I mean, I'm working. I'm getting there. It's in my mind every damn day since we talked about it. Trust me.
Yeah.
But I think it's smart to, I mean, I won't have a life if I'm, like, filming every day. And then, you got to, like, when I'm, like, 20 ready to go. Yeah, and then, like, buy yourself a little,
And it doesn't have to be every day. I mean, it can be twice. It can be two performances a week and then just talking about where your head's at. Your head goes all over the place. And that's good. That's a really cool thing because it's really interesting.
Yeah, you know? I mean, I struggle a lot with anxiety. Like, it's like me and my...
You got all the alphabet. You got the ADHD. You know,
I know. But me and my girlfriend, like, yesterday, she was, you know, we sat in the park and she was like, I'm Melinda. She's an artist. I tried to get her to come tonight and she's like, I'm just so broken. I just feel like I'm busking my life away, like, and it's just stuck. And I'm like, God, like, it's like this, we're in the same issue, but different. Like, I feel like I'm doing dog walking to pay the rent. And I feel like I'm doing the easy way out. And you're like busking and you feel like you're failing. And I'm like, you're making a living from your music. Like, that's amazing. Yeah. And I'm like copping out. I'm like walking dogs and not, you know, like jumping ship and busking every day. And there's always this, but we're both like, the point, sorry, was that we both, I think a lot of artists, like, it's like they like to hate themselves a bit because it, like, if you are super content and happy, like, why would you be a musician or an artist? You know, you have nothing to express, you know, but so
but
we,
also
we
it
yeah, there's
to
demons
me,
basically that we're both dealing with in our own ways.
But it also sounds to me like, I mean, in that kind of dialogue, and I totally get that. Dialogue,
yeah.
But because it's basically what us musicians think like all the time. But we also kind of always forget that. Every great story of anyone who made it, like, who really, like, I'm talking about, like, broke the world with their success, like, filmmaking or music making.
Yeah.
like, there's all these stories of what they did.
Yeah.
And the time where they did their biggest thing. Like, you know, Kurt living in his car while they made Smells Like Teen Spirit. You know, like, people always, and through the history of the art form, people that ate shit while they were doing their best thing.
Yeah.
And it almost seems like if you took the eating shit away, would they make that?
Right. Like, because it's almost like you have nothing.
I don't want a musician that I'm into to be having a good fucking time. Yeah. Fuck that. Their music will be boring as shit.
Yeah.
They better be needled in the arm, OD'd while they're in the booth.
Totally. I mean, because if you're well fed, then, you know, you want to sit and chill, but if you're like hungry, you have no choice but to like, and so that, this is where my dilemma is a little bit, but we'll talk about that.
So we were talking earlier, speaking about busking, because I hear about,
I finally went last night.
Because you were feeling bad that you hadn't gone out for a bit. That was
Like super guilty, super guilty because
you feel like you're not doing enough or something? Or?
Yeah, okay, first of all, there's this whole, if you're not sharing your talent, like, at least days a week or something, I feel dead. Yeah. I'm just dying, and I have this talent, I have this gift or whatever, and I'm not giving it to anybody. I'm just picking up dog shit, and then, I mean, I'm doing music after my day job, but it's like still, if I'm not performing,
you got a pepper scooper,
something,
right? You're not picking up that shit with your hand, right?
Oh,
you just touched me with it.
Definitely. Hi.
Oh, God. Wow.
Yeah,
I know what you're saying, though.
Yeah, and so I think as any artist, so this is like, you know, she's burnt out from busking because she's busking covers. I mean, really, it's a covers gig.
Yeah.
So she's not expressing herself as an artist. I'm not expressing myself. Even if I was busking every day, I still probably be like, well, I still need to, I'd probably get burnt out still because, you know, you make your money from, like, playing Amy Winehouse, you know, and, like, they don't know your song, so they're not going to be like, oh, I love that song. Here's a pound. But
you just slowly, like, kind of, like, morphing, like, mixing your own song in, singing your own song over the Back in Black cards just to get
it. I know,
I wrote
right?
that part. That melody's mine.
Yeah, you know? Totally. I could do that. Yeah. But, yeah, if you're not expressing yourself, then you start to feel like you're just wasting, and it's the worst feeling ever. So I felt just, I mean, it didn't matter how much I made last night. It didn't matter that I only bust for an hour. And I mean, I just showed up, and like showing up is half the battle, you know? And like, it just felt so good just to perform, even though there was not even.
Isn't that the great
thing?
And
that was just so great. I was high afterwards.
That's the amazing thing about music is like literally, you know, if you're a surfer, you need waves.
Yeah.
If you're a skater and it rains, you can't go skate. You know, if you're a musician, like you can do it anywhere at any time. That's the great, beautiful, amazing thing about music, that you can just go and do it.
Well, especially in London. I mean, I got to give a little props to London right now, because in LA,
really,
there's all these rules.
That.
You can't just busk anywhere in LA. You have to have like a promenade permit for 37 a year, and then there's all these politics involved, and like you have to sign, you know.
Yeah.
But here, there's certain places you can't.
I feel like the
busk.
Busking games really took a step up. Some of the best. Music I've heard in the last couple of months has just been walking around.
Yeah,
solo,
totally.
Hearing people bus.
I mean, Gabriella, what is her? Rodriga and Gabriella, they were busking in Dublin, and Damien Rice happened to walk by, and the rest is history. He was I'm going to help you guys out. But that was quite a while ago, you know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I think if you're doing that, but like, give me an idea as well. I was going to say this to you. Give me an idea. I didn't send it in text. So I wanted to say it to you. It was like, if you're doing your video stuff and an easy way, and you love busking, you love kind of just performing, I was thinking like you could easily throw like a little party at your house every Friday or something, right? Maybe it doesn't have to be a party with loads of people there. I'm talking about like, you know, 5-10 friends, just a get together every Friday, and you just play a new song, or you just do a cover, or you do, you know what I mean?
Well, kind of like So Far Sounds, but not So Far Sounds.
And you've got that, boom, you've got Friday video. Every Friday you've got another
and
video.
What are you saying,
really,
what's the purpose of the
to grow the subscribers, but also to do
to
what
have
you
a
love,
video with live people around
for your
but
friends.
You could do that while you're busking and have someone film it, and then, you know, not have to organize a get together every week.
You might have a kind of cool vibe with your best friends sitting around, or
that's
people.
True.
You can start to
all right,
open it up.
Your house, how's your house? I can't do it at mine.
Yeah, you can do it for sure.
And all right, sweet.
And you could open it up eventually to people who comment and use, and through the Patreon you can invite people to, you know.
Yeah, no, Patreon is awesome. Yeah. I met Miko. Do you know Miko? She's a really awesome artist who is like, she had a lot of clout in South by Southwest and everything. And she's so cool. Like, I mean, I never thought I was going to be playing a show with her, because it was like I had to put her on this pedestal back in 2007 at South by, because everyone was talking about Miko, you know. And then she's playing the Troubadour with me, because I organized it, and she was like, I kind of want to come busking with you. Like, I was like, what? Like, you're Miko, like, you want to come busking with me? It was pretty cool. Well, but like, it's like, she, it's just, again, it just goes down to the bottom line of like, it doesn't matter where you're performing, it's just the that cool experience of
and
it,
especially now with technology, because there's like a mutual a friend of our of mine and Jamie's Daryl is making this this app which called Hexology, which it isn't just for fuck off playing, it isn't just for musicians, it's actually got bigger, you know. I think it could be the next Facebook, but it allows people to basically for musicians, that's what it does. It allows you to basically have a store, like basically in the cloud, like, you know, anyone who walks past you, if they can get an alert saying, hey, you're right there and you've got this song on sale, you know. So if you're busking, you could be like just playing, and like everyone who eventually, you know, when it gets out on a big scale, everyone will just go, broop, you know, Melinda's dropped a song, she's playing right there. You know,
what
that,
do you mean?
That
like they know
better.
I dropped a song. Oh, like it says, and then she says where I am.
So you can, your Hex, you can wear it, or you can have it on you, and you just like store into it. Like, I'm just dropping this song right now, and I'm playing a little gig, and I'm in the street, and I'm just set up, and I'm playing a gig. You know, like, and you can release a song, or you can play like hide and seek. You can play games with where your song. You know, you can do all this cool stuff.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and like basically that then takes again the power away from like labels and distribution services, which again this week. Tidal just got exposed.
Oh, really?
For taking the streams of all these artists who are on their site and pushing all the streams, the metadata, towards Beyonce and Kanye.
Oh my god!
Exposing again that,
like, they don't need it. Like, that, they need any more money, you know?
Yeah. Well, actually, they were kind of didn't really have that much money, you know. But like, yeah, they basically took millions and millions and kind of blew up Kanye and Beyonce, making people think, oh, Tidal's the place to go.
Wow.
So that's kind of like what's happening in
the distribution sites.
We'll get into that in another time, because we talk a lot about distribution and and Spotify can go suck a hell of dick.
Well, I mean, like, they've got fake artists that probably they're double, triple, quadruple dipping, probably, because they've got employees, I'm sure, that are musicians, right? Of course. Probably every employee at Spotify is a musician. And then they create, like, a fake name. They're a fake artist.
Yeah.
And they make, like, music to sleep to, you know, like, and they, like, so some artist that really actually wanted to make music to sleep to is, like, just close the door on him, and somebody in Spotify, or just, you know, and then they're, you know, getting all the streams, and it's like, it's just, they're just making money for themselves, it's like setting the curve wrong, and I don't know. Like,
it's so
really complicated.
Crazy.
It's really complicated how to work out the royalties.
Now that Tidal's been blown, the rest of them will get blown up as well. Spotify will get blown very soon. They have been doing some dirty stuff for a long time.
It's like, I don't want to say it's a necessary evil, but it's like, you want to be on Spotify, but also...
I've stopped looking at numbers on Spotify. I had a song that had 200,000 or 300,000, whatever, probably 600,000 now. Listens, and I saw zero from that. Now, how can an artist
I got 600,000 streams on a song
and get zero? How is that possible? Why would we ever want to use your site again? Why would we ever want to use distribution?
I mean,
distribution
kind of like 600,000 downloads, but not, because you can't.
So streaming, I think streaming's going to die. I think
we'll talk about that.
Yeah, but I think the point is that busking, and I don't think anyone should be ashamed of busking or anything anymore, because I think busking is going to become, I can see a busker idol coming out. I'm going to go around shooting buskers and put it up on YouTube as busker,
because you make
idol.
More money busking than you do in the venue that you booked a month in advance.
But also promoting people
that are your friends, dragging them to your show again.
Yeah,
and it's like less exposure, less money. I just think it's so much more efficient. Like, I get gig offers and I'm like, oh, you want me to play on a Sunday at 2? No, because I'll lose like 100.
Is getting bad.
Yeah.
Like, you'll go to a gig and they'll have a metal band on the same night as a fucking.
Oh yeah, that
really
show that
singer.
I played last month. That
I was gonna
lineup.
Say it was your show, but
I know,
like,
but
the
that
promoter
lineup
should
was
have got his fucking ass whipped.
It wasn't even on the website. He didn't even put it on the website.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Venues are lazy.
Yeah,
the promoters
very lazy.
Are lazy. No wonder most of them are shutting down. I mean, they don't have any money. There's no budget.
Also lost the tally, by the way, of who I brought. I had to like recall.
Yeah,
I should have said way more than I.
You can just go out and perform in the street and people can see you. If there's soon there's going to be ways that people, you'll be able to kind of get those people. They'll be able to walk past you and you'll be able to like match to them, you know, like a dating thing. But for music, you know, fans, you're like this type of artist, they like that type of artist, boom, you match. So that's something that Hixology is going to like work on as
well.
We could pick up some more stuff another time, because
there's like a lot of tangents, but like we're kind of talking about the game plan, like for an artist that has a lot of. Right, going back to the sort of...
Yeah, but the good thing is for you is that you are over that kind of, like, main crux of, like, you know, where do I get started? So you've got the idea, you're going to film about 20 minutes, get yourself a head start, and then, boom, start to upload and start to record.
Yeah, but it still doesn't... it's still a mind fuck for an artist, even if, let's say, I had all that. Let's say I've been doing the video thing for a year, right, or 4 months.
Yeah.
And I've got like
4 months, so that's 4 times 30.
Right. So I've got all these people waiting, and you know,
I'd say you'd have about 30, 40 subscribers.
Okay, cool.
That's
so much.
But I'd
still have to tackle releasing. So this is what I want to talk about, because I think this is going to be like tangible for artists. So they know that we got to put content out constantly and keep it simple and just like consistency, but you still have this amazing product, hopefully it's amazing song, video, that you still have to release correctly. I mean, okay, you have all the fans and you could just drop it like Beyonce or whatever, but you're not quite at that level still. So I still think there's, I mean, yes, PR companies are mostly bogus, but I kind of sometimes have this mentality of like throw everything at the wall and just see what sticks.
Where would you release it?
Yeah, like okay, this is my head. Let's say I've been doing 3 months from now I'm gonna finally release the ice video, yeah. And like however many fans I've had from a video a day, that's how many fans I have. I'm not gonna wait forever.
Cool, yeah.
Can't do it. So I'm gonna put it out, but I still feel there's certain things that maybe are dated in your mind that are, I think, can't hurt. Especially, like especially. I mean, I couch surfed for like 4 months to save up.
Catch any good waves?
Yeah. Not in England, geez, are you crazy? I did that to save a bunch of rent money for a PR campaign, right? And I still haven't paid.
Oh yeah, fuck PR campaigns.
No, I know. So this is what I want to talk about. Like, I think there can be some, the bottom line is a team, right? If it's not a PR company who doesn't really care about music, they say, your music is great, just pay us. Then it's somebody else, it's a team, it's your fans. Like I employ a fan who has gotten me all the gigs I've had the last couple months, and I'm playing a festival in Liverpool because of him, because he believes in me and I'm paying a little bit, but like you gotta outsource everything you can and outsource things you're not good at. So I still think,
When you say employ a fan, are you saying you actually pay them to do
a little bit,
that they take a bet of what you get?
No, because I'm not really getting, there's not a guarantee I'm going to get. It was a loss at the last gig because I had to pay a videographer to get content. I had to pay the sound guy, the camera guy. Yeah. So, it's not going to.
So if you're paying out,
I'm paying a little bit.
You got to kind of.
Not so much, but yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Like, he's like, just pay what you can, that kind of thing.
Let's park that there.
Because they believe in you.
So I'll explain why, after 3 or 4 months, why all this question you're going to ask here is no longer relevant. Right?
Yeah.
After 3 to 4 months, if you're putting up a video a day, right, you're not gonna have a problem with being able to get a team of fans, like a street team. You can build a street team with people who are watching after 3 to 4 months of video a day, people are gonna believe in you.
Right?
Because you're not, if you haven't stopped after 30 vids, because 30 vids is hard.
Yeah.
If you haven't stopped after 3 or 4 months, like, you're in.
Yeah.
And anyone watching is on board for the
journey. But what if you're like, release date,
Also, you can go to, then at that point, any company you go to, and you've got to be careful who you work with, but any company you go to, after 120 uploads, and you can see the metadata of how many subscribers per day you are getting. I would be surprised if labels start coming to you then already. You should still tell them to fuck off. But people will come.
And
it's that whole build it, they'll
come. If you build it, they'll come.
After 120. But the tough thing is the first hump. 4 months is, I think you're over the hump.
Right.
The first hump is 1 to 2 months. Because it's going to get real hard. And it's going to seem, because at first you're not going to see large numbers. But obviously this is the test.
You're like, what am I doing?
This is the test. Once you get past the second month, the numbers start to boost like crazy. And then all of a sudden you've got gigs coming in. Then you got to turn down most gigs because you got to pick the right gigs for the right money.
Exactly.
And then at that point you are getting paid well enough that you can say, here's a part of the cut for the whoever your team are. As the months are going, you're starting to take bigger gigs because your numbers are going, so then you can pay more. Your sales are going over on your videos,
your
revenue is going over, your Patreon, you're growing those subscribers. And that's a key thing of what about the tactic of doing the 365 is that you set up the Patreon first, and so everyone who's coming on board, they're on board of your journey of, can she do 365? Can she do, or even if it's not 365,
because you're kind of like announcing it, and that's like, I'm more scared of that than calling
up. But it's so scary. I mean, how many people have done it? I don't think.
Right. I mean, are you going to announce that that's what you're going to do?
Yeah.
Shit,
it's
man.
Scary.
Do I have to announce it? Can I just like do it and then not say I'm doing it?
For me, the goal and the win is, even just getting to the 365th day.
Oh my god!
Like, to know that you did that.
Yeah.
Like, boom! You're in the kind of history books.
Totally. Yeah. It's like, pretty awesome.
And
but not, to say you're gonna do it,
the money thing isn't really just the big thing. The money thing you can't really equate, and the subscriber thing as well you can't really equate. But you're talking about upwards of 70 to 100. I mean, 70 if you're not that great and you're just doing one type of thing.
Yeah.
I'd say start off just doing one thing and then you have to expand out.
Yeah.
But by the end, by the 8th, 9th, 12th month, I think you're affording to do big videos.
Sure, yeah.
You're affording to do big collabs.
Yeah.
You're doing kind of cross promotion on other big people's platforms. People are talking about you everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, you start to get those spikes through the year.
Yeah.
You know, and viral things starts to happen, mm-hmm. and then you go like people will go, oh, it must have happened overnight for her. And it's like, I've got 125 videos before that one thing went. Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
You're creating the kind of the big Indiana ball that's chasing.
But
you know?
But going back to totally. But going back to just the release of something. Let's say, okay, sure. In 3 months' time, I'll have a lot of people that want to be on board with me than I will now.
Yeah.
But I still know that I'm kind of setting this release date now. So I still have to. I still want to release it, so the date is set, kind of.
Yeah.
And so my question is, I'm just like talking tangible stuff right now, because a lot of artists are like, so I just shared a blog directory with like the rest of my like songwriting group or whatever, and I paid like $150 for it, and it's like thousands of bloggers' emails and stuff.
Right.
And so, yeah, sure, I'm building up the YouTube thing, and that's all great.
I wouldn't hit them until you've done like at least 30 videos. Until at least
so that's what I wanted. I was like, okay, I don't think an artist should have a release date without,
I'm
like, well, I want the bloggers to maybe premiere the song or the video. And in order for them to do that, I need to give them 3 months in advance notice. So then
I think 2 months advance. 1 month is advanced enough, especially for online blogging.
Maybe. Kinda, I don't know. Yeah. They still kind of plan far out. And so.
Yeah, but you can set your releases
Now. Yeah.
Once you get
If I'm going to do that, I am, as an art, I'm like, I mean, unless you convince me otherwise, I'm, regardless of the 30 videos, I'm going to hit them up and be like, I've done all this, this is a video, do you want to premiere it? I have to do that now because I need to be, you know?
I wouldn't hit them up. So the problem with hitting up, say, even conventional press, you can call bloggers conventional press now because bloggers are the
like
new press,
Hype Machine.
Yeah. So say if even 5-10 years ago, you know, if I was saying I've got this amazing album and I've got this tour with this guy and this guy and this movie's coming out here, and I could say all that, right? And I've been in positions where I've like, oh, I've got this, you know, and you have, you know, does not matter until you're in the 6-week process, right? Or until you've actually got everything else happened.
Yeah.
So until you actually have a certain amount up and they can go straight away and go, oh god, yeah, this is looking like it's well then they'll cover it, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But I don't know, there's some I agree with that. Obviously it's better if you've got like all this buzz going on before you hit them up. But like there's a lot of songs I've seen
better,
kind
it's
of
impossible
be
if
featured.
You don't.
Yeah, but I've seen a lot of songs on Hype Machine and I go into their Facebook page or their YouTube and they've got like no subscribers and it's like clearly they hit them up.
Well, don't use Hype Machine.
But Hype Machine is where I listen to new songs like that.
But you're saying people are on Hype Machine and then you go to those people's
I go to that song that's
nothing?
Buzzing. I go to their Facebook or their YouTube.
How is it buzzing if they've got nothing going?
Because maybe the manager or something sent the song and it because I see it a lot though.
But that's the business.
Yeah.
So if I'm Hype Machine and my company structure is I'm gonna have say that I have all these links to all these things and by being on Hype Machine like Record of the Day, exact same thing, you're gonna get such a hit off it, right? Got exposed years ago that stuff doesn't really work like that. So the only people they'll have as their main people that they'll definitely cover will be people who are already signed and you know, they'll have priority people, right?
Potentially, yeah.
And
I mean they probably would ignore my email.
Essentially being used the exact same way as Record of the Week.
Like
you know?
They're making it look like it's a track that's like but to be fair, I've like Googled a lot of these bands and they're like they're definitely not signed and they're like, you know, and I think again, I'm going back to like the whole throw things at the wall and stick and see what sticks. Like I don't think it can hurt to like hit them up before that so that maybe when you have the release date. Okay, sure. Yeah, I want to know.
Is that we're thinking all these like when you have a plan that you really have to simplify. You have to get super simple and not have too many things that you have to do. Because every day another thing comes up and you have to do that, right? And then another day, you know, and another day and it all starts stacking up, right? So you basically have to have nothing to do. You have to clear everything off for the first little bit. You know, do your day job and then do the video and then that's it. And you kind of almost are basically setting things up to leave them, right? Until you have enough going, until it starts to create the momentum. And obviously, when you're putting it up on YouTube, you're blasting it with one app to put it on all
right.
the other social medias.
Yeah.
So there's a vibe. Now, the whole point of this is do nothing else other than that. Wait till 2 months. Wait till 60 videos are up and see the explosion that happens, right? Mm-hmm. People hitting you up from everywhere. These companies coming out of the woodwork asking you. These bloggers are, you know, coming to you. You know, like now if you were putting, like, you want to do is like put these videos up and start sending things out and being proactive.
I want to show that. I want to send the ice video to, like, because they're not going to see that on my YouTube because it's not out yet.
Yeah,
but like they might see me singing, but they're not seeing this product. Is what I'm saying.
Because the human mind basically it conflates and it kind of really confuses everything. It makes everything so complicated, right? So for any plan to work, you have to have one simple thing to do and forget everything else. So doing this is such a it's such a kind of like mm-hmm. big
it's
thing.
It's like counterintuitive
that you kind of
yeah.
can't have your mind going, yeah, but oh, while I'm doing that, like on the fly, you'll yeah. get an idea one day, go, you know what, I'm gonna help this blogger on the fly do that. Mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm, but don't set up this kind of like I'm thinking of this. The mm-hmm. big thing is that you thought of that. Now just do that 365. Do the first 2 months. Have your release date scheduled.
They're not gonna premiere my thing because
you
2 months
to
later.
Days,
yeah, but they've already scheduled the premiere, so then you can't.
But what's
hit them up
what,
at that
what,
point
what
then because it's too
for?
Late unless what? You want to just be open about your release date. What do I need them for? Well, that's how I have a lot of favorite songs now is because it's like what's popular on, I'm just using Hype Machine
yeah,
as an
you're,
example.
If you're doing the 365,
yeah.
you know, like you've got the market. The market isn't on these websites. You might find songs there, but honestly, how many people are sitting around going, I'm going to go on this website, Hit of the Week, Hype Machine, all like that's, musicians are going on there to see if it's working. That's the only people going on there. People aren't like sitting at school going, hey man, did you check that song on Hype Machine? This, you know, it's not World Star.
I don't know if
you're on YouTube where like 80% of the market is,
yeah,
and you're killing it with an algorithmic buster of a thing, which Gary Vee and all these legends are kind of showing, like, this mm-hmm. works. And even people who are doing it and don't have talent, they're just, mm-hmm. it's the consistency factor. If you're doing that, like, that's the full-time job. You really kind of are saying, that's my tactic. And you have to have faith in that tactic. You can't kind of go, oh, but I'm going to panic and I'm going to do all these other things. Like, when you start doing the thing you love and you're just doing it, the rest will literally take care of itself. You will have labels come in. You'll have everyone coming running after you when you get to 4, 5, 6 months. And you have to tell them no, because they won't be offering enough. Mm-hmm. They won't be. Mm-hmm. They'll offer you maybe 150,000.
Mm-hmm.
But by the end of the year, you'll have 150,000 subscribers.
Mm-hmm.
So your Patreon might be worth more.
Advances, anyways, aren't really a thing.
Advances are the worst thing you can possibly get in the world.
So when you say 150,000, what are you talking about?
They'll talk about like an advance.
Okay. Right.
Oh, we'll pay you 150,000. It's like, all right, cool. Well, that. I can maybe put something down on a house, but like you won't really get that. You'll maybe get half of that. You know, it doesn't really ever work out. Advances go really quick. Tax takes half of that. You know, your management takes, you know, by that time you'll need management before you even deal with them, or else just get fucked extra anyway.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's kind of like 150 is nothing. It really isn't.
Yeah,
anything.
No, totally.
They probably won't come with that until you have like 100,000.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But the bigger thing in each way through, like the hard thing is that the 2 months is that you have to understand if you're uploading every day for 2 months, you just got to do that. You can't be thinking, you can't be letting your mind run over all these other things I got to do. You want to go and busk and film and
it's
do all
lot.
These cool things.
Yeah.
Just do that.
Yeah.
And set your release to go up on the fourth month or whatever, right? That release is going to do exponentially better than it ever would have done if you'd released with a label and you had no big subscribers. Like, you wouldn't have been on a label without big subscribers, but if you released without a label,
mm-hmm.
they would never have promoted it. If you went to a PR company,
mm-hmm.
they would never have got
well, not
what
doing
you would
that.
Get.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to say, you know, we have radio contact. Because, like, the
I
other
would, I would
thing is the radio stuff. Like,
radio's
a lot of
dead.
My friends are like,
radio's so dead.
Yeah, like, oh, that's When Hearts Collide is another song that's, like, it is very radio-friendly. And
No,
I'm like, okay, so should I send it to the BBC and try to get on the BBC playlist?
Radio friendly, that's just a term for the song is catchy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's people friendly. There's no radio anymore. Radio is all algorithmically picked, and it's all like, you know, you pay mass amounts of money to get on it. It's such a gangster game that has been exposed a long time ago. Mm-hmm. No one cares about radio. No one listens to radio. What you're talking about, help, it's like, you have to understand it from a point of, from
exposure,
frame of mind of
people discovering you.
Think about, you're thinking about yourself now, but think about when you've got, when you're 6 months in. 6 times 30, I can't even do that math. That's how many videos you've got up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do you need at that point? You've got, like, the world watching you. You've got people on you, you know, like...
I mean...
Why then? The radio will come. Someone will come and ask you. Mm-hmm. And that's the way that it should happen.
Yeah.
Labels, management, all that will come and say, like, oh, you know... Because... But you won't... You won't really need them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you'll see an algorithm is there. And by the way, it's like uploading this stuff on YouTube. You're also uploading on DTube, Steemit. You know, you're uploading on quite a few places,
yeah,
right? And that's Steemit, you know, as a cryptocurrency, Steem, so you'll be earning also, your kind of stocks going up.
Yeah.
You know, you'll have the money to promote,
yeah,
to do Facebook ads, to do actual placements on all of the social media.
Yeah.
That's the game.
Do you
no
not
radio,
think
no other
exposure. You don't think artists should be like boosting their Facebook posts on their Facebook music
yeah,
pages?
Facebook marketing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's Facebook marketing's fine, but I would do clever things like don't try to market, if you're in LA, don't try to market your songs in LA because you got a gig that week.
Mm.
I would say if you're in LA and you just dropped a song and you're a hip hop artist, Africa, pick
mm-hmm.
a country in Africa
mm-hmm.
and market there.
Mm, okay.
Dominate a market and then
right.
you'll see boosts uh-huh. rather than like just, you know,
spreading it out,
trying to
mean?
Be this fish in a big
mm-hmm.
pond.
Yeah.
Like you're just nothing, you know.
So you don't think artists should target like Los Angeles because they're like, oh, people
don't
hear me in Los
not
Angeles.
Not yet. I'm saying, like,
yeah.
Like the clever thing is dominate smaller markets.
So Idaho.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
You know, there's a clever way of doing
Fairbanks,
it.
Alaska.
Yeah, there's a clever way of doing it. But we let's wrap this up because we can get back into
yeah.
more tactical stuff with you next
yeah.
time.
Yeah. I just, I mean, I think it's important what we're talking
Ortner
about.
I think Melinda Ortner is going to be part one, part two, part three.
It's just, I think it's important, though, to kind of, like, troubleshoot a lot of these things. Because this is stuff that, like, we're about to talk about in the MIFT group,
yeah.
like, which is just, like, you know, a group of songwriters that
yeah.
is going through all this.
You
and what are we doing?
In there all day.
But, like, you know, I shared this blogger directory, and, like, they're like, oh, this is awesome. I'm about to jump on that. And it's like... You know,
I'd say don't waste your time. Like, no.
You got to talk to all of us because we're all kind of like, what? How do we do this? How do we tackle this?
Do the things. It's like the 80. It's the Pareto principle, right? Do the 20% of things that get you 80% result. Don't waste 80% of your time and get 20 hit back. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like I've spent an entire career learning all this shit, and after a while, when you make all these lists and you do, then you can see like. It's like watching presidents get into power and you see the same things happen over time and people are sitting around
it's
talking
about... It's just like an arbitrary to-do list.
Yeah, it's like, why are you moaning about presidents? Like, same thing every time. Like, they're all shit. It's a game.
Same.
Stop watching
yeah,
it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's the
I
same
know,
thing
with
this.
Is
you see
yeah.
the things that you did over and over and over didn't work. I've been on... Like, when my book went out, it became a bestseller not because of going on BBC Breakfast at 9 a.m. in the morning. Which fucking rap fans are watching BBC Breakfast at 9 a.m. in the morning? No one.
Yeah.
It got no hits of going on one of
wow.
the biggest news channels
that's crazy.
In the world.
Yeah.
Right? I went on daytime TV and we saw it got no hits. It got hits when I started going on cool things, and it got hits when I was going around touring, and it got hits when just being constantly going to the target
mm-hmm,
markets,
mm-hmm.
going into like the rap areas and going into like the band areas and finding the spaces where you can really market your message.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
And then word of mouth.
Yeah.
Not trying.
Yeah.
Like, we paid a lot of money, or the book company paid a lot of money to press companies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I ended up writing most of my own press.
Yeah.
It's like,
I had
like,
a press PR campaign. And it's like, oh, Beck was their client, and that, like, sold me. And then it was all, like, bogus blogs that no one even reads. And you're, like, paying, like, your rent money.
I've done so many press campaigns on
bullshit.
Records and stuff, and it's just,
yeah.
it's such a waste.
I think it's
time.
Just that I feel that some artists are blessed with some padding money. You know, they have money to spend. Others don't. But I just feel like artists want to again, as I said before, like throw everything and see what sticks, and why not? Well, this can't hurt. You know, if you can employ your mom to do this, right, but if you can get like your dad to do the blogger emails and your mom to do the editing and then
check
your sister. Well, my little brother helps me too. Like he helps with my Instagram and like does stuff. And you know, you can like I was about to say that.
There's a way of kind of like
I'm all about that outsourcing, like yeah, this team, this web. Also, you know?
If you just spend a little bit of time up front, one, learning how to do things to so you can do them quicker. Two, finding the right apps so that you can, you know, do one post that can post on everything rather than you know what I mean?
Like
ways of really getting quicker.
Yeah, but also knowing that like, okay, I'm not gonna be the best editor, I'm not gonna be the best Photoshop person.
Outsource.
Like, I think outsourcing is so important. I'm not gonna stand by that.
Don't sit around doing things that again. No, totally.
Like, you don't need to like be learning to be the best editor, as I said. You know, that's a waste because that's again going away from what you're actually good at, that you were born on this earth to do.
Yeah,
you know?
And plus also like if you're making amazingly well cut videos that are bah 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 cutting every few seconds like TV.
Oh yeah.
You know, like and a young audience member, a young person who's watching you, who like wants to fall in love with your music. It's probably going like, the fuck is this? I just want to hear do a song.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, so don't be too smart with the, or clever with the...
Again, like, they like the raw.
Yeah. Because you want to see it go from, oh, gritty, horrible footage to, like, at the end of the year, you'll be working with big directors mm-hmm. on a big video. And there'll be a big campaign behind it. Because you're a team at that point.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I do.
The aim is not to do it alone, by mm-hmm. the way. The aim is to start something... Yeah. Start something on your own that is cool as fuck, mm-hmm. that's just your love, your passion, and see how far it goes.
Right. I also think, like, everyone is 6 degrees separation from... Right, because you love it. But everyone is 6 degrees separation from somebody,
Kevin Spacey,
so, like...
Everyone's six
No, it's not
getting,
Kevin Spacey. It's not Kevin Spacey, though. It's,
Harvey Weinstein.
No, it's 69. Kevin Bacon. He's, like, the running joke about that.
Yeah.
Anyways, but the point is, like, I'm like, wait a minute. Like, I have a connection to Kate Hudson, you know, I used to walk her dog, or like I have a connection to like some big wigs if I really thought about it.
I would say
and
use
I'm
your,
like, why don't I
could
send
wisely.
My right, I know. But like I could send my ice video to that person and be like, hey, do you mind tweeting this video on the day of its release? You know, and setting up some people to be able to I spit in your eye, sorry.
No, it's all right, my eyes are
just
fine.
to be
and
you
it's
know,
more spit in there.
But you know, I mean that's not a no again, right?
I think it's just a mind frame. We'll wrap this
that
up.
That helps
here,
with but collaboration.
Like,
you know?
I would say just think of this, it's a way of thinking, right? Alternate marketing rather than like the kind of old conventional way that doesn't work. I would even say, now you're not gonna want to hear this, but even though you love that video, the ice video, I would say that if I was you, I'm not saying that you should do this, you should do what you want to do, but if I was you, I would do that exclusively only to Patreon fans.
Right. Well, then eventually
and then
I release
a month
it.
Later,
oh, I totally will do
a month
that.
Later,
I like that idea.
And then let the Patreon fans be the ones who market it, you know?
Yeah.
So they get it first, and then maybe a month later, like, they're the ones who
well,
gonna
yeah,
underclap
it
a month
yeah,
later.
Yeah, I know. I'm on board with that. I think that's a great idea. Yeah.
All right.
Anyways,
let's bring someone else in.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good... kickoff. F1 in the bag. All right.
Yeah.
Catch
Thanks.
Next.